He was big on Saint Elsewhere, the TV show. I never watched it, but he's like
a show we wouldn't have been watching at that age.
No, it was like 82 to 88. Have you guys heard the theory of that show?
That it's all made up?
Yeah.
Well,
but
you guys like the whole feel universe. Free to say it.
So yeah, it's not. It's yeah. not it ends with a snow globe, and they like pull out of the hospital, and then the hospital is in a snow globe, in one of the characters who's like
autistic.
So the thought is, or the ending of it is that the whole show took place in this kid's mind, like as he's looking into the snow globe, like none of it really happened. But then because of the whole like universe, like there's a lot of actors in it too and a lot of guest stars. So if you could say, oh, well, that person was, you know, Denzel, every Denzel movie is also just made up in this kid's voice. So the whole theory is that every movie and TV show ever is just this kid's imagination.
Oh, neat.
It's called the...
Saint Elsewhere paradigm.
Yeah, no, but it's like the kid's name. I forget what it's called. It's something like that.
Welcome to our Film Fathers Podcast, the definitive podcast about fatherhood, film, and fatherhood in film. This is Jelani, and with me as always are two guys who don't know if they're good guys or bad guys, Martin and Brady.
I don't have a lot of time, which means you don't have any.
There are two kinds of pain in this world. The pain that hurts, the pain that alters.
That's the median nerve that I'm compressing. On a scale of 1 to 10, that's 2. That's 3. You don't want me to go to 4. I go to 4, you shit yourself. You don't want that. I don't want that. They don't want that. Tell your compadres that they can leave. Tell them to beat it.
This week, the world has been off balance and is very much in need of equalizing. Who better to look into a situation like this than one of the greats? With the recently released third and final chapter of the Equalizer franchise, we set our watches to account for the time needed to discuss Denzel, the action star. With 9 years from start to finish, age is catching up with the legend, but he still puts in dynamic performances every time you see him. While delivering life lessons, taking lives, breaking bones along the way, maybe he finally found what he needed. Life on the Italian coast might just be where we all should be headed.
Old man action.
Old man action.
You said a while ago that they all get into their old man action phase, and that's where we find Denzel this time.
He's been here a while.
You know, I didn't look him up. Yeah. How old is he? Do you know? I can look it up right now. I just didn't know. Do you know the answer?
I'm gonna go 63.
I'm going older, but
I'm not
going
to guess.
Oh, jeez.
But yeah, fine.
68.
Okay.
68, okay. Yeah, he's getting up there. And then you can see, like...
So, 59 to 68.
Yeah. He's not doing as many stunts and movements, but...
Shirts are getting a little baggier.
Yeah. Clothes are getting a little bigger.
Look, I think we've said it before, and I think most people have said it. Denzel. I mean, one name only.
You're right.
One name only. He's to me the only reason that I enjoy these at all. I didn't really like these movies.
Well, I think that's fair. I mean, I think you're only
like
watching.
You take him out of it, and I'm like, I don't know. If
I mean, maybe
else.
You replace it.
There's
with
a
somebody.
Few things.
Yeah, but I'm saying you could put somebody else in, and maybe then that's the reason. I get what you're saying. It's not. The writing.
I don't think even if you replace him with anybody else, these movies are even that great.
That's kind of what I'm saying. Like only because of him, and maybe there are a few others. But
yeah, I'm sure
he makes. He's just enjoyable all the time. Is what I'm saying. Like he saves it.
And we can kind of talk however you want about these, but I mean, I think at least for me, like I actually do like the first one. I thought the first one was good when I watched it. I still think it's good. I like the rewatch. It's not amazing by any means, and it's hardly going to be, I would say, when people, other than the action part of it, I don't think when people are going to look back and be like, oh, don't forget about the equalizers for Denzel's career, right? Like,
right.
He's got an unbelievable resume, but this role is good with him. And you know, the Antoine Fuqua connection, which this was... This was the first?
Third. Was this... No, he had Training Day.
Training Day was before this, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, that makes... They clearly have a great rapport, and they really understand each other.
Yeah. I think this is... As he's gotten older, this became kind of like his his director to his go-to director, because, you know, early in his career, right, it was Spike, right? And Spike Lee kind of put him on the map, and he did a lot of stuff with Spike Lee. As he got into his action phase, he did a lot with Tony Scott.
Yep.
And that was his guy. And then as, you know, he
we
started...
We like those, Man on Fire.
Yeah.
Was Deja Vu?
Crimson Tide?
Crimson Tide was... Okay. Deja Vu, I
maybe
don't
not.
Think so.
Okay. But I do like that movie.
Yeah.
Two Guns?
I know it's not...
No.
Two Guns is not.
Not Tony Scott?
No.
I'm trying to think. I can't remember
We
now.
Can go through those later. But yeah, but yeah, getting into like then Antoine Fuqua with Training Day, right? That was the big one that set him off.
Yep. And, yep. He got an Oscar for it, which we all know is the only sign of success in Hollywood.
Right. The true mark of a
Deja Vu is Tony Scott, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if he was still with us at that time. But yeah, and I think they work well. They know, like, he knows what Denzel can do. He can, you know, help guide the actors to it. And I just think it's kind of funny, like, as we kind of alluded to, right? You know, you get your old man action, but I think there were still some other, there's other movies, and I'd like to get your top five. We'll get to it a little bit later. Top five Denzel movies. But yeah, I'm with you, Brady. Like, the first one I really enjoyed. Second one, when I saw it the first time, it was like, okay, I see we're continuing the story, but it kind of started the law of diminishing returns was setting in. And then the third one,
I know.
That's how I felt.
It's funny because the third one, I mean, I guess it is still kind of early, but it has the highest highest Rotten Tomatoes score.
It's early.
So yeah, it's probably just early. We'll see over time. But they're all around like six, I think. The first two are like 60s or 60.
You're wrong. The first one has the highest score.
Oh, what does it have?
7.2. 6.9.
No, I'm talking about Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay. So I think said IMDb out loud. But.
I said I, and then I switched to Rotten Tomatoes. Check the tape. But I think my problem with, not that I watched the TV show a bunch, but I do remember it. And I know the concept is just that he was, like, people called him for help, and that was, like, the serialized version of it. Which
they set that up in the beginning of the first one.
That's what I feel like. Yes. They feel like the first one was
like
this.
They
never went back to it. And that was a problem for the second movie.
The second one was,
I think, not enough.
Right. I think I didn't even dislike the second one. I liked parts of it, but I think it's better if it is built around that idea instead.
Yeah.
But my hunch would be that a studio said, no, we want action and CGI bullshit.
I think maybe they thought that the whole Lyft driver thing is like, because you can't really call anybody. You can't really advertise.
Well, he put an ad on Facebook, on Craigslist on the first one.
Right.
That was the end. But Craigslist Craigslist is still around, I think, right? But
still
like,
find, or dark web, whatever you do, write something in other than I'm a Lyft driver who happens to overhear shit. It seems like everything he does is overhear. It's like, how many people do you really hear like that they're, I don't know, their husband is kidnapped or something. You know, it's all these like really intense things.
Like the bookstore he goes to. Her daughter's internationally kidnapped.
It's just like these ridiculous kind of like premises, which they didn't have to do, right? Like, yeah, you could have just asked. So I'm sure, and I wonder if the new show is any good with
Queen Latifah.
I know what I was thinking. If I was thinking about this, like, if I could make this into a show, I'd put it on CBS.
That'll get them. Well, you know, it might get those people
that watched it.
Yeah, watched it from the
80s. You might.
CBS drama is all like 80-year-olds.
Blue Bloods into this. And
that Tom Selleck really gets you going.
Well, I'll tell you one thing I think I liked. One part I particularly liked about the first one, I really liked the villain. I liked Teddy. The guy, and I don't know him necessarily, Martin Sokas, I'm guessing is how you would pronounce that name. I looked him up. I mean, I definitely have seen him before, but would never know his name. But I thought he was...
particularly creepy?
Yeah, he was great. Like, he's what you wanted on the opposing side. And you look at the next two movies, and I just didn't have that at all in terms of somebody, like...
Yeah, a charismatic bad guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Charismatic bad guy or anybody that seemed like an actual threat to him.
Right. That's part of it, too, right? You need to feel like someone's on level playing field.
Right.
It's not just an old guy with a particular set of skills that is able to...
And he was very much overly confident every time. I mean, there's five guns pointed on him. They could shoot any time. Any one of them could just be like, I'm going to kill you.
It's a choreographed dance, Martin. None of them.
I know. But there's suspension of disbelief, and then there's these movies where he definitely overdoes.
In every single situation, he...
It seemed that way.
...has not only the utmost confidence that he has the upper hand on everything... A couple times they tried to explain it out, like, right, like, and what, then was it three?
Yeah,
he's a foot too close.
Yeah. He's telling him, but I guess it's in a different language, maybe. So he didn't
I don't know. Him. I was hearing Italian. I took me a minute to get the closed captioning figured out.
Yeah,
I was like, ah, hope this will end. This part won't go too long. But I do think that was part of it for me. And what's interesting about that is I say like that I liked him. In that same movie, I felt like you had a bunch of, in this franchise, you have multiple guys who were just actors and are now have gone on to be much bigger star, have gone on to leading actors in David Harbour, and Pedro Pascal.
Yeah.
Two guys who, I've seen both these movies and I didn't remember either one of them being in the movie. Rewatching it, I was like, oh shit, it's Pedro Pascal. Oh, it's David Harbour. But they were just guys in the movie at that point.
Right. And you pretty much called that Pedro Pascal was going to be the bad guy, right when I saw him. I'm like, I don't want Pedro to be the bad guy. Because I'm like, I just knew it. And then maybe I wouldn't have if I'd watched it at the time, right?
At the time, because you wouldn't know who he was. For sure.
He wasn't a big name.
But he was still good. I thought he was good in the second one. A bright spot in the lowest of the three, I think. Because I didn't hate the third one, I guess.
I didn't hate it. And then
I guess I didn't hate any of them. But
that's the thing. I didn't hate them.
But the second one was
It's the worst. There's limitations on, like, essentially. There was a low ceiling on how good any of them were really set up to be. I don't think any of them are well written.
I think they could have been. They could have been written better. They could have had more of that. He's helping people on call, and just not as ridiculous that he's the Superman.
Right, and I think that's part of the problem that I have. Like, if you don't have a good foil or you don't have a good villain, it makes like everything that the hero does, like, okay, well, there's no real threat there, so like, why am I never feel like he was in trouble. Like the biggest threat he had in the third one was the kid who shot him in the back,
who he ignored because it was a kid in the end,
and he shot him in the back. Like, that was like it. Everything else,
I was so mad because I was watching it and I'm like, we're a third of the way through and I'm like, why shoot him in the back? Just can't you graze him? Like, and you got to put him into. But he's like, okay, he's got himself back to mobile.
He's got to build himself up by walking up the stairs to the church.
He's
got to pull
his Rocky moves. I'm sure. Right. Surprised they didn't have like a montage. Yeah,
exactly.
Great. But then him putting the gun up to his head right in the beginning after the kid shoots him, do you think that was like a legit thing that he was trying to kill himself? I think he would know how many bullets he had left in the gun.
That's a fair assessment.
Like, for a guy, he knows everything down to the second. What?
Yeah,
I didn't like that either. The watch counting.
You didn't like the bullet time aspect of it, like timing himself and knowing.
I don't know. They did a lot of it in the
first. The
first
one was hardcore
every time, but they didn't really explain it. Is it just that he wants to see how fast he can do it, or what?
I would agree. It was not explained literally at all.
No,
it was just. I don't know. You're the one that watched the show, I assume.
I don't remember that.
I don't remember.
And again, I was really young, and I just remember thinking it was cool. I remember thinking it was cool, but the actor was not. He was this old British dude.
We watched the trailer today, and I was like, "Who the fuck is this guy?"
But also, like, it's kind of a threatening move to before you beat up on a bunch of guys to put your
Timex out.
Just reach for anything, you know. Yeah. Like, as soon as you move your hand, you're going to get shot. I would think. But nope, not him. And he knows each time it's going to take, whatever.
I think the other thing that kind of they can't really pull off, and I don't know if it's just, again, maybe it goes to the writing, but we've seen like this vigilante go through the motions, or even somebody who has been wronged or, you know, was disavowed or whatever. Like, we've seen the Jason Bournes, we've seen the Mission Impossible.
We've seen the story on film many times, right?
And, you know, you can even see it in, like, the Jack Reacher story or the Jack Reacher series and things like that. So it's kind of like you're trying to fit it in and trying to find a niche, and there wasn't really a niche that needed to be found here. Like, it's been done.
Yeah. That's a great way to put it. I was thinking, watching him, I was thinking the same exact thing. Like there's elements of John Wick right in the first one, someone that's retired but then kind of comes back into
every time I'm out.
Yeah,
exactly. The Godfather line, right? So yeah, there's elements of all that stuff, but it's not. This isn't the best version of that in anything.
No, I think you're riding the Denzel charm and charisma that we talked about, right? Yeah. Like you're riding that specifically. You're like, okay, yeah, it's some of that stuff, but it's Denzel doing it, and you're like, well, okay, well, you know what? Fortunately for you, that does kind of work. It works enough for it to be like the first Denzel sequel he's ever done, and then trilogy.
And probably the last.
Paycheck, yeah.
They said the last, but then I also saw something where Fuqua was like, I would, if he wanted to, I would. But
and he said he's out. And I just saw an interview with him, and they said, what if they pay Denzel? With Denzel? Yeah. Fuqua was there, and so was, so was, what's her name, Creasy Bear Jr. Dakota Fanning. And he said, well, they asked him, what about if it's a boatload of money? He's like, well, what kind of money are we talking about? Like, you say the number. It's on. We got to get it on you know, on the record. So he seems like he's out unless they,
I mean,
they offer him $1 billion.
You know what? It should be. He should be out.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it's as much as we like him, it's like you can only ask someone.
Yeah. Let Queen Latifah do the reboot.
Give anybody do the reboot.
If you write it good, I don't give a shit.
Dakota Fanning do the reboot. That's what I thought they were setting
you
up.
You could angle it around her. Let me tell you.
She was not a good actor in this one.
She didn't have to do much.
Right.
I was like, Dakota Fanning's in it. And she was in it for like 10 minutes. Like, in the grand scheme of things. You're not wrong. She, like,
I don't know. Something about her acting seemed very rigid or, I don't know.
Child stars.
Well, she was great as a child star. I mean... And how long did it didn't dawn on me until after the movie was over that it was the daughter. Were, yeah,
well,
that it
was put that Man on Fire. No, there was.
It just didn't dawn on me that they were together in Man on Fire.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know why.
What?
I didn't think about it.
That hit me as soon as the trailer
came out. Of
course
it did.
Yeah, I knew that before I started the movie.
As everybody should. That's why I was noting it as remarkable that I didn't realize it until
I was. I thought you were going to say something different. So, and that was one part I didn't like about the third one, especially at the end. It was just so cliche over and over again. Like, you know, you have the soccer win at the end, like, which, by the way, was
ridiculous. This is very big for Altamonte.
So big that, like, she wasn't watching it or anything. Like, you know, it's like, it's a huge deal. 30 people ran into the town square to...
Right. Oh, there was a bunch of moments like that when they're like, this means that they accept you now. It's like the small town people accepting.
Well, and it was that, and then the extra cliche thing, which I guess should have been obvious, but I wasn't thinking about it, was that it was that Melissa Leo and Bill Pullman were her parents.
Yeah.
And I was like, it could have just been a young...
Yeah, could have been a protege. Could
have just been like why he called another, you know, they were... But it's like, right, like...
Could have been a different reason other than that.
It's like you had to – it's such a cliche thing to try to force it in. There's been no mention of a kid.
Right.
Like
through any of it.
Right.
Yeah. I agree the entire time. It was I knew there – obviously we all knew there was going to be a reason. I didn't think there would just be that kind of like a cheap reveal right at the end.
But. You mean the cheap Photoshop?
Very.
The family picture?
A lot of Photoshops.
Yikes. They couldn't get Melissa Leo and Bill Pullman back to just do a real picture.
I could AI a picture right now better that looks better than that. Like that was like a cut and paste physical picture on top of
I didn't really notice it.
Oh, it was awful.
It was real bad, but like
I was too busy just thinking that that was just
silly. He was too busy being like, what movie have they been in together before?
Oh right.
Was it Malcolm X? No, it wasn't Malcolm X.
It's funny. I saw this note officially, but as I was watching the third one, I'm like, God, it's always fucking raining at the end of these things. And they're like, oh, no. In each of the movie, the climactic face-off scene has always been in a highly precipitous environment.
Right. Was it
sprinklers,
the first one?
Fire sprinklers, right? And then the hurricane.
And why did he have a nail gun in the first one?
He was at the
Home Mart.
Yeah,
it was
at
Home
Depot.
Why?
Lowe's. It was a Lowe's. They just wouldn't call it Lowe's. I don't know why.
Because they were wearing blue?
Well, no. If you look at... Oh, this has just been nerdy. But you can look at like the stickers, the pricing stickers,
okay.
And they're all like the same style as Lowe's.
Not Menards, not Home Depot.
Yeah, I mean, well, so that's your literal answer of why you have a nail gun? But the thing was, he never fired a gun.
Right.
In the beginning. So, literally,
So, oh, I didn't even think about that. Okay, well, there you go. That's a better answer.
Which, to the later on, was they did, and that's why I was like, oh. So, again, I just felt like they just veered off of their path that he yeah. was on, which I think we all – it wasn't a perfect movie, but that first one was good. Like, I could rewatch that movie.
Yeah.
And, like, they veered off that whole, oh, I reach out to me if you want mm-hmm. help. Like, they veered off of him being essentially killing people, but –
Not killing people.
Not in
the
ways
second
that...
movie could have been a lot of that. Third one could have been as it is. You know, he retires and they could have made this whole Seven Samurai-esque movie where he saves the town. But the second one should have been a lot more
helping
individual people yeah. instead of yeah. And the hurricane was just stupid. I know where he is. He's in his old house in the hurricane. I don't know. And it would just look poor. And Pedro Pascal just shooting up everything
randomly
up. Yeah. Yeah, just getting mad. And then all of a sudden he's on top of the tower so fast. I don't know. It was all pretty silly.
It was really too bad that it yeah. kind of...
You didn't need that.
It was too bad that it got to that point of, like, in the movie, you have pieces that are kind of good, right? Like, mm-hmm. and I just... Yeah, just poorly executed. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the... You know, I'm sure it was a decent payday to make that second one to get Denzel's first ever sequel. I'm sure a studio loved that.
Yeah. My biggest issue with the second one was when Miles is in the trunk. Like, most modern cars, as my boys will tell you, have a latch release in the trunk. So his hands are in the front. You just pop the thing. He's out. Five minutes.
Know that.
As my boys would tell you, are you trunking your kids?
We do it all the time. I'm like, hey, you want to hop in the trunk? And he's like. So the first time, Brooklyn.
I've ridden in a trunk. Don't get me wrong, but I
do refrigerators have no.
No, but so we. I told him though, like if you ever get stuck in a trunk for whatever reason, look because there's a little.
Stay calm,
right? Stay calm and look for the little thing, and they're glow in the dark.
What if it's a car before 1980? Dad?
Ignore the bullets.
Kick out the tail light, and then stick your hands out. I mean, we do all this training. This is why my kids are going to become Jason Bourne.
I like it.
They're going to be ready to go.
I did like the him Denzel shooting the tire out of.
Right before
he was going to shoot the trunk. I like that. Although I feel like the tire going down wouldn't alter it that much to where he would like hit the rear windshield.
Yeah.
But I still liked the idea behind it.
Yeah. The premise was good. Did you guys, from the first one, did you guys recognize Slavi?
Slavi.
The pimp?
No.
Was it the first dude who he kills, the guy in the very beginning?
The one he
offers. Who's kind of the boss
at the time. One he offers the $98.
Recognize him? Yeah. Don't know where he's from.
Okay. So he's Cousin Johnny from Justified.
Yeah, he is. That's on us, Martin.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I got him.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was like, that's Cousin Johnny all
Damn
day.
It. And honestly, like, what happened to Melissa Leo?
Why isn't she making great
Am I crazy
movies?
She won an Oscar? She definitely was nominated at least numerous times.
Yeah.
And then it feels like fell off.
Boxer, I feel like. Or, I'm sorry, is that what it was?
The fighter, maybe.
The Christian Bale, Mark.
That's it.
Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah. She was in Prisoners. The Fighter.
Flight.
Oblivion.
She was in Oblivion.
I'm looking at Olympus Has Fallen. Hey-o.
But, yeah, I'm pretty sure she won something for The Fighter. And you would think that would just like skyrocket her career is what you're saying. And
yeah.
I don't feel like it has, right?
And do you think it's like it felt like she was, for better or worse, like she's not like, you know, the Hollywood beautiful star. I mean, she's just kind of a
maybe.
I don't want to say average look. Like she can play an every woman, so to speak. Tight walking here.
So
I mean that in the best way. I mean, I don't mean that in a negative way, but I think like she is. I think that's what she was in a lot of movies, and then maybe couldn't then vault to be like the.
I have a theory for that. So
please
save me. Like you said, you know, she has a distinct role that she could play, and I feel like Frances McDormand took that. And it's like, she was already there.
Frances McDormand was
exactly.
around before.
But like, people are like, hey, should we get Melissa Leo for this role or can we get Frances McDormand? And they're like, yeah, well, let's get Frances. She's like, sure, I'll do it.
I don't know. I think it's probably some kind of combination of poor agent or just poor decisions.
She's in the Academy. I mean, she is literally an Oscar winner and she doesn't like.
Look what happened to Cuba Gooding Jr. He won for Jerry Maguire and then made shit movies after that. It's like he just made poor choices. He could have done other things, I feel like.
Could he have?
Maybe not, but I mean, before that, he had Boys in the Hood, Jerry Maguire. He seemingly is a good actor, but I think he made Snow Dogs or something.
Now he made that Robert De Niro movie where he was Air Force or Navy.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
You know, yeah.
Navy, Men Navy of Honor? Diver, something like that.
What'd you say?
Men of Honor?
That sounds right.
Could be right.
Where's the Diver?
Yeah.
Again, yeah, that was it. Wasn't a terrible movie, but.
And I'm sure he was like, oh, I can work with Robert De Niro. Okay, I will. And
but there was not much more after that.
One of De Niro's best movies.
So there's one movie that my dad watched with Cuba Gooding Jr., I think Tom Berenger, called Murder of Crows.
Hmm.
Okay.
Where he hears this story about like a murder from somebody else and then writes like a best-selling novel about it.
Crows?
from Hugh Cronin.
It's from '98, so it's 2 years before Men of Honor, and it's after Jerry Maguire. Yeah, this is what he's picking.
Right. And then he becomes the prime suspect in the murder because he knows all these details about it.
Which, and like I mentioned, Snow Dogs.
I like to tell you, he must have watched Major League and he's like, I can work with Berenger.
Major League is so good.
To me, she's someone who is a good actress.
Yeah.
And she's perfectly fine in these movies. It's a small role, but it's like first.
Could have been done better by Frances McDormand, though.
I disagree. I'm very happy with her in this role.
I think she's good for this role. I don't know.
But in general, it seems odd to me. Like, it's one of those people who, seemingly. She's done a lot of shit.
Yeah.
It's not like.
Yeah.
Maybe she's not getting offered these prime roles. Like, you'd have to look and see, like, well, why? You could go year by year and be like, look at the best movies. Be like, well, could she have, been in that? You know, do a deep dive, really, if you wanted to. But it just struck me as odd when I saw her. I was like, yeah, what the fuck happened to Melissa Leo? I remember she kind of had a little run there, and then she won an award, and then she was just random people in random movies.
Yeah.
Bill Pullman, random husband in this movie. You know, it's like.
gotta keep working, I guess. Ashton Sanders, that's Miles, I think, was in the,
oh, right,
in the second one.
Moonlight?
Moonlight, right, yeah.
It took me a minute. I looked it up because I was like, how do I know this guy?
Yeah, we talked about Moonlight.
He just looked older. I mean, I think that was part of it. He was so young in Moonlight.
Yeah, yeah, he's taken that. I mean, I don't think he won an Oscar, but the movie won the Oscar. And, parlaying it into the first Denzel sequel.
Which is great, and I liked, that little. I mean, it was a little ridiculous, right? Can we assume that when Denzel and him leave the
flop house,
whatever we want to call that,
trap house,
that crew is running down on him. They're not just staying up in there.
I was very anxious about them just hanging out in the elevator.
Oh, what the fuck just happened? And like, I don't know. We'll figure it out later.
Right. They're not going to have that 15-minute conversation down at the bottom of the
right. Hallway. I was just like, okay, so that's over? That ended? And like, he's safe too.
Yeah.
Like, they're not coming after him. They literally know where he lives.
Not beating him up. Not doing anything to him. Yeah. All right. So here's the question of the night. Then, top five Denzel movies. I'll give you time to look it up. Go through.
Yeah, I feel like I got to cheat at least to look to see some things.
So,
you got yours already?
I think I do.
And I would honestly expect Jelani to have some. And we can talk while we're looking here.
Yeah. So I think I'm...
Best movie or like best role of Denzel? Because I feel
just
like...
Just your favorite.
I know, but I feel like that could matter in the question. And Jelani also usually has his own perspective on...
All right. Yeah, if you want us to look at it a certain way, I was just going to do my favorites.
I would say your favorites because best movie... In my opinion, his best movie is going to be Malcolm X, but it's not...
I never saw it, so I can't even say it.
It's really good. And he's really good in it.
I've heard of it.
But I think for my most enjoyable rewatches or watches of Denzel, I would probably have to go with number five.
Ooh, God, he's ranking them.
Flight. Number four, Crimson Tide. Number three.
Thought it'd be higher.
Inside Man. Number two. Actually, no, I gotta move those up. Flight five. Fallen, 4, Crimson Tide, 3, Inside Man, 2, Man on Fire, 1. I think Man on Fire might be my favorite Denzel role of all time. Like, he just...
We have some similarly placed movies.
He played that Martin's, really well.
No. Did you say he got Game?
I didn't.
You didn't put He Got Game in there. That's my surprise. For you.
I didn't.
You loved that movie. What were we gonna say? Martin's what?
I thought you were ready. You were.
I think I'm ready. Like I think I'm ready to go.
So yeah, you were like it looked like you were ready to start speaking. So that's why I thought you were.
I'm not gonna rank. I'm not gonna rank them. I'm just gonna kind of
coward go on the list.
Put it on tape.
Fences.
F5.
That's how he said it first.
Deja Vu. Inside Man. Man on Fire, Training Day. Yeah.
Lock it in.
Yeah, I'm locked in at those. But I also, you know, like honorable mentions are Pelican Reef and Philadelphia.
Okay, okay.
We'd be here all night.
You said Fallen, so.
Fallen is so good.
Yeah, it's so good. Underrated. I want to see it again. I haven't seen it in a long time, but I'm still keeping my five.
All right, so I had Remember the Titans at five.
Okay.
Did you say Remember the Titans?
I did not.
I had Fallen at four.
Kevin right now is screaming at us that we didn't pick Remember the Titans, just so you know.
I just did.
I know you did, but I'm saying me and Jelani, that we he's going to be, yeah, he would totally say that we're wrong.
Training Day at three, Man on Fire at two, and Inside Man at one. For me, Inside Man, I think is a fucking amazingly good
when
movie.
When we started this podcast, you guys were talking about Inside Man.
I remember.
And I was like, why do these guys love The Insider so much? Because I'd never seen Inside Man.
Right. And I've never, even, like, and I never seen The Insider. It's Crow and Pacino, right?
Yeah, it's
Crow. Who's the director on that?
It might be Michael Mann.
Okay. It's somebody big, I remember.
Yeah, I just didn't really love it.
And I might be missing, like, I've enjoyed some other of these movies for sure. And some of them probably are a little more on the rewatchable scale, but I agree with you. I think Man on Fire is, like, really, really good. But I just think Inside Man is really, really amazing. That's why when you were like, I was listening to you and I was like, oh, God, those two are still looming out there.
And I put Fences because it's a recency bias. Never it was really it. Good.
Yeah.
I just watched good. It recently, and yeah, he just acted so well in it that I didn't
and I really saw like Flight, it. But I don't remember thinking.
I haven't seen Flight.
Anything that I don't remember thinking anything
I just thought,
too highly of it.
And you know what? Maybe with Flight, I'm thinking about like the whole performance that he gave, and plus it's a reunite of Melissa Leo, Don Hello. Cheadle.
Oh, look at that.
John Goodman. He like brought back all the big hitters.
Brought back Mouse.
Yeah,
Mouse. Yeah. Do you guys know? Do you have the known fours up, or can we do it? You already looked.
Denzel.
At it,
I don't. I don't. It's above where I'm at. And
so
I.
You want to guess?
Yeah, I want to think for a second, just because I feel like it. That's definitely not. I'm in my top five zone, and that's definitely not going to be his known fours.
Nope.
Are you looking at him?
Yeah, I'm looking right.
Oh,
at
Oh, okay, cool.
I can't play.
All right,
go if you're ready, Jelani. I'm trying to think. This is. I feel like we may have done this before. Which
I feel
is
like we may have. Even, but it could change. It could have changed.
It could have changed. So I'm going to go.
They could change it every hour as far as I can tell.
Right.
I'm going to go with Malcolm X, He Got Game, Philadelphia, and Fences.
You got one.
Wow. Okay. So I was going to go with Malcolm X, American Gangster, Flight, and... I'm going to guess something stupid. Roman J. Israel.
Esquire.
You got zero, bro.
Wow. So Malcolm X is not
going to give you. I'm going to give you another, just a hit, like his biggest movie, the one that he won for.
Glory?
Oh, yeah, he did win for Glory, too. No, it's not on there. Training. Training Day.
Yeah, and that's probably true. I'm literally just like looking, scrolling.
You got Fences. The other two, The Book of Eli and Antoine Fisher.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Yeah.
Book of Eli is...
I did not like it.
You didn't?
No. Mila Kunis?
Too religious. Actually, maybe it was okay.
Was he
but
blind?
No.
I'd have to rewatch that movie.
So I just remember he's carrying around the Bible. And
right, but that's the whole theory is because it's the Bible in Braille, he's blind.
Oh.
And he's doing all that. All of his stuff is because his senses are heightened because he's a blind man.
Hmm. I'd have to rewatch it. I don't know if I want to.
Jennifer Beals.
It is a Hughes brother. I might have to rewatch
she
it, too.
She sucks.
You don't like Jennifer Beals?
We talked about this.
The old man? Gary Oldman?
He's great.
Right, Jen.
He's in it, too.
I was thinking, oh, yeah. She's. Sorry, I was thinking of
Jennifer Beals.
Jessica Biel.
You know what? Not a massive fan of her either.
That's what I thought you were saying.
They collectively, you can get a mix up. I don't like either one of them.
Michelle Beadle?
Any other Beals? Tom Waits is in. I might have to rewatch this. And it's the Hughes Brothers.
Yeah.
I remember not loving it.
Okay. Go back and rewatch it.
Maybe. Yeah. I was like, do we do it at some point? But I can't think of a reason why we should.
I mean, if we get into another old man action, there's enough of those out there. Like, we could just do a whole thing on old man action. But, yeah, I mean, He's an excellent actor.
I mean, like I said, there's no doubt about that. But, like, we also just all three named our top five and not one. There's no Equalizer in it. And he did three separate movies.
Right.
I have to rewatch Ricochet, too, since you guys have never seen it. But I loved it when
Ricochet,
I was a kid.
Ricochet, Virtuosity.
It's a good reason for you to rewatch that. Yeah, I got to rewatch this because you guys haven't seen it.
It was my first Denzel movie I've seen.
Oh, first Denzel movie.
Yeah.
I want to say that we watched – I said I haven't seen Glory. I think we watched it in school. Is that possible?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I think we did very watch possible. That.
We might have had to get a permission slip, though.
Not in Iowa.
Not
in Iowa. Your parents didn't know. It was just whatever you did, you did. Yeah, I don't know. First Denzel movie is a hard one to think about.
And it was in 91.
Yeah, so I was going to say.
Well, that would have been it because I would have been in school watching that.
No, I'm sorry. Ricochet was 91.
Oh, I was like, I feel like I was in junior high.
Glory is 89.
Yeah, maybe.
Glory's 89. You're right. Yeah. So, but I didn't watch it until later, this was like, I feel like it was in junior high.
I got those Avid videos on Fridays.
And I never saw Malcolm X.
Yeah, Malcolm X was one that was essentially a history.
God, it could have been The Pelican Brief because I read that book.
Yeah.
And so that might have been my intro to him.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mine was Malcolm X in 92. I remember going to the theater to see that. And so, yeah, that was my intro to it. And then just those movies that just kind of pop up, you know, you're like watching like Unstoppable and Taking a Pelham 1-2-3. And then, you know, when you really start getting into movies, you see like Inside Man and you're like, oh, okay. And then you start seeing all of like the mannerisms that he has and the walk and the
talk. Inside Man, I will say, is it's hard to, I would hardly call that a Denzel movie. Like, it's not, he's in it, but he's not, it's not him. I mean, it's Clive Owen.
Right.
And, you know, it's credited for like what our little game was, but it's definitely not because of Denzel.
Yeah. I mean, he's not the focal point, but.
No.
But you can also see him in like American Gangster, which like is a whole nother movie and a whole like.
I just didn't love that movie. It was fine.
The Hurricane, The Bone Collector,
Hurricane,
The Siege.
Hurricane was I came close to, but it's been a long time since I saw that, and I'm like, but I remember watching it and being like, dude, that was awesome, and I liked Bone Collector, but I might not be that great if I had to guess.
No. And I thought Ed O'Neill was in The Bone Collector.
I still think I want to rewatch The Siege because I feel like when I watched that, I was like, this is a really good movie that no one's talking about. It was like a bargain bin before I knew what that was.
Well, we've got all three of them in. We did it.
If you're going to watch them all.
Yeah. Knock them up. Be a completist.
I think I told you guys last week, I was very excited that I hadn't seen any of them when I was And as I progressed through the movies, I got less and less excited.
I didn't think I had seen the second one until I watched it. And I was like, oh, yeah, no, I know this movie. I was like, yeah, this dude's going to – he's going to paint the mural over there. I'm like, I got all this stuff. I'm like,
yep.
I guess I didn't realize that was Equalizer 2. So.
I thought that was The Great Debaters.
As always, we gave them a chance. They made their decision. Now we're giving you the opportunity to make yours. Subscribe where you listen and give us a follow. Thanks, and go to bed.
Tommy Westfall.